Let's pray and we'll ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for your word that challenges us, that continues to strengthen us. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds to you today to be receptive to your spirit and what you're trying to say to us today. Lord, move us to be bold and courageous as we follow your word and your commands. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, morning everyone again. Hope you've enjoyed your good Easter break. Last Sunday, if you were here with us, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, where we actually finished off with the Gospel of Matthew as well, where as the disciples looked forward to a time of a new heaven and a new earth, they were also looking forward to a new body as well. If you remember Joe, he took us through his experience of restoring Jetty's bike as a reminder of God's heart for restoration as well. That God doesn't just abandon or throw away things that are old or are sinful or not as good, but through Jesus' resurrection, he gives us a new archetype of human being. Disciples no longer had to follow the archetype of Adam, of sin and death. Whereas now we, as believers, can follow Jesus, the new type, where we look forward to his resurrection and our restoration into new life as well. With Matthew in our rearview mirror, we're looking forward to what's to come. So for the next few weeks of what's left of April, we'll be looking into a few select passages of Acts. Oh, there we go. To see how the early churches went on as Jesus departed into heaven, how they continued to perform Jesus' mission with his ascension. And then as we head into May, we will go into our mission month, where for the 4 weeks we'll be hearing from various missionaries or mission agencies, both locally and internationally as well, about their experiences of mission. And to help us consider how we too can be part of God's mission in Australia, in Thornley, and in the world as well. Shout out to Eric, who made this logo poster as well. But today, we're looking at immediately what happens after Jesus' resurrection. Luke, who is the author of the Gospel of his same name, also penned this book of Acts, or what we often call the Acts of the Apostles. In my opinion, it's probably closer for us to say there's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit continues to carry on the work of Jesus through his church in the early years. In fact, Luke and Acts can be seen as two volumes of one continuous story, where Luke, as a physician who was commissioned by Theophilus, was sent out to find the facts about Jesus and this early Christian movement. And at the end of Gospel of Luke, Jesus appeared to his disciples and even ate with them before he left them and was taken up into heaven. And this is exactly how Luke begins the book of Acts, as we have just read as well. He says, Theophilus, I wrote about all this Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Luke, as he begins his new book, new volume of the Acts of the Apostles, he wants them to know that Jesus is indeed alive. Despite all the rumors that may be circulating in Jerusalem, despite all the things that may be confusing them, he was sure, after talking to all the witnesses, that Jesus had come back to life. The disciples themselves had seen him, not just once, but over a period of 40 days until he was taken up to heaven. That the crucifixion, he wants him to know, is not the end. There is more to come. The message that Jesus preached to make the kingdom of God and his coming continues to be taught during this time of the early church. Everything will continue on through the Holy Spirit. And the Acts of the early church, everything that we will read in the book of Acts, is founded on this fact that the resurrection of Jesus has come and who is now seated at the right hand of God. Now take a moment by yourself to imagine what it would have been like for you if you were one of the disciples that Luke was writing about at the beginning of Acts. How you've met Jesus, But it was only a month ago that you experienced all this emotional roller coaster of entering into Jerusalem, where you were praised and Jesus was hailed as a new king, only to see a few days later on Jesus, whom you followed, to be arrested, tried, and even killed on the cross. Everything that you have followed and believed in ended just that day. Just when you thought that everything was over, that the movement of Jesus was coming to an end, 3 days later you hear how his body has disappeared, and you wonder what that all meant. Only then to see with your own eyes that Jesus has indeed come back to life, and he ate with you. More than ever before, as you sat at that table with Jesus, you believe, you are sure that Jesus is the Messiah. He is indeed the anointed one, the one God has promised to your people for generations upon generations, who will come and restore your people. You and the other disciples there think to yourself, surely after Jesus' resurrection, the final chapter of God's salvation plan is here. Sitting around with your friends and disciples, one of you would have been enthusiastic more than ever about what's to come. The question on your mind eating with Jesus and the other disciples would have been, what's next? What's the plan, Jesus? Where are we going to go from here? How are we going to top and move on from your resurrection? How are we going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Like a child arriving at a theme park after a long car ride, the excitement and the anticipation of what is to come would have been both exhilarating and overwhelming at the same time. But what instruction does Jesus give to you and your and the other disciples? He says to wait. To stay in Jerusalem and wait. Don't go anywhere yet. Don't get too excited. Just sit tight and wait. You'd be thinking to yourself, what? What do you mean, Jesus, wait? Surely now's the time to get out there and spread the word of your resurrection while the city is still abuzz with the news of your crucifixion and coming back to life. There's all these sayings that we have, like strike while the iron's hot or make hay while the sun shines. Carpe diem, Jesus, seize the day and get out there and advance the movement. What do you mean, wait? What could we possibly achieve by waiting and being idle? Surely anyone with any sense would make use of this newfound momentum in our movement. In your frustration, you ask, is it now? Is it now that, Lord, your kingdom is going to be restored? Is the final consummation about to happen? Surely with your resurrection, there's no better time than now. But all Jesus says is to wait. It's not for you to know the times or days the Father has set in his own authority. Don't worry about all that. That's not for you to know. God the Father has set his own time. Yes, the final consummation will come, but when that is not your concern. All you have to do right now is wait and trust in God's perfect timing, and he will bring his own plan when he comes back into completion. And this is the first lesson when Jesus comes back that the disciples needed to learn, was to trust with patience. You can imagine the anxiety of the disciples and maybe yourself in that day as Jesus ascended. The Spirit doesn't come straight away. There would have been a period of about 10 or so days where you were just left to wait. Not fully knowing when the Spirit will come or even what Jesus fully meant. But this was an important lesson for them to learn, that they needed to trust God in what was about to happen. To know that God's plan for his kingdom was not dependent on human plans or actions. They needed patience to see that it is God who will work through the ones that he is about to send. It is not them who are going to go and work for Jesus or for God. They're not to go and do their own thing, but to wait with trust and impatience. While waiting may have seemed like the hardest thing for them to not do or achieve anything, waiting was exactly what they needed to do. Because Jesus is going to send them the Holy Spirit in his time. They had to wait for, importantly, God to send himself to them. Even though Jesus is leaving them and going to heaven, he is not leaving them by themselves. As he promised in John, he will send them an advocate, a helper, to be with them forever. And just as he said in the Great Commission, he sent them out not alone, but he will be with them always until the end of ages. John's baptism prepared them for the coming of Jesus and the defeat of sin on the cross. But now, with the Spirit coming, a new baptism comes to mark them as those who have received the salvation by the cross. This coming of the Holy Spirit from them. What Jesus commands them to go through, he also helps. See, however much it is that he tells them that they need to obey them, God doesn't just tell them to do something without helping them with it as well. Immediately, 10 days later, we see this at the Pentecost, where God sends his Holy Spirit upon his people. When the disciples were gathered in together, the Holy Spirit came upon each of them like tongues of fire. Each of these Galilean Jews were able to declare the glory of God in the tongues of the nations around them. As Damon read before, Parthians, Medes, Asia Minor, Phrygians, Egypt, Libya, Rome, and Arabia, all the foreign languages that they couldn't have known because they were part of Galilee. God is not only with them in his spirit, he also empowers them for his mission as well. What God calls his people to do, he also enables. Armed with the Spirit that brings power, they are able to bring the good news of Jesus to the nations around them. And we see this in the book of Acts. As the Christians are scattered throughout the nations, they are able to bring with them the good news that they know. But the flip side of this equation is that without his Spirit, the disciples are unable. See, without God's power at work in and through them, the disciples have no hope of being able to do what God has commanded them to do. In obeying Jesus' command to be his witness in the world, they needed to be 100% reliant on the Holy Spirit. This is why they had to wait. Even if they had gone out at that time, all the things that they would have done would have been fruitless and futile. Trying to advance the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit is like trying to drive a car without fuel. It just plainly wouldn't work. They needed to learn patience because they needed to know that they are not going to work for God, but it is God who will work through them. The smartest and most eloquent of them, of the disciples, would not have been able to advance the kingdom of God if God's Spirit was not working in them. Their responsibility at this time was to be obedient to Jesus' command. As Jesus ascends to heavens, the disciples are reminded by who we are, to be angels that are standing next to them. Don't just stand there idly watching, but to go and be obedient. That Jesus will return in the same way that he has gone now, and that the kingdom of heaven will come and be completed. In the meantime, they are to go and tell of what they have seen and heard, bearing witness to Jesus, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and spreading the good news of Jesus. Yes, Jesus has gone, and in the time that we too are waiting for him to come back, we too are to be filled with the same mission. In the meantime, as we are waiting, we are to depend on God's Spirit in our ministry, our outreach, and our desire to evangelize to our friends and our families. We too need to rely and trust in him more than we rely and trust in ourselves. They were told to wait for the Holy Spirit because they needed to the Spirit to make anything they do to be effective. After all, what can man or woman do in the realm of divine salvation? Nothing. But with God, he can change lives and eternities through us. Everything that we do and participate in the name of God, is dependent wholly on his Spirit. In ministries, we need to ask the Spirit to work. In evangelism, we need to ask the Spirit to speak on our behalf. In mission, we need to ask the Spirit to convict people's hearts. Our best laid plans or our best prepared evangelism methods or mission strategies are useless without the Spirit. What does our dependencies on the Spirit look like? Well, the apostles acted out their dependency on him by waiting. And there may be times that our dependence on the Spirit may call us to wait also. But at all times, our dependence on him calls for prayer. A people that looks to God is a people that prays. Often we think that it might just be easier or more effective if we just get out there and start doing stuff to plan or to execute or to prepare for the next ministry. It is easy to think that nothing is achieved if we don't do anything. When the irony of the whole situation is that the Spirit is able to do infinitely more than we ourselves can do. A Spirit-dependent church is a praying church. On the other hand, if a church doesn't pray, it is only dependent on itself. Prayer should be central to everything that we do. Every ministry, outreach, conversation that we have should be smothered in the prayer. It is only when we depend on the Spirit to work that we can fully embrace Jesus' command to be his witness. In the meantime, we are to go and be his witness in the world, that all may see him through his people. So at the very beginning of the early church, the apostles and the disciples were told to be these witnesses already. This command to go and bear what they have seen is not something added on to the church later on. Being witnesses is not some kind of a side hustle that they had. The church doesn't do mission. The church is mission. The very reason we exist and gather is so that we may go and bear witness to who Jesus is. Mission doesn't just belong to a committee or those who are passionate about it. All believers are called to bear witness. Everything that we do here is not just for our benefits. When we gather, we encourage ourselves so that we may go out to share what we know. It is not just a priority on a list of other priorities. It is everything that we do. Yes, Jesus will return in all his glory one day. But in the meantime, our purpose in all that we do is to be missional. We gather in order that we may go out. We encourage each other in our faith so that we may share with others our faith. We praise God here so that others may come to praise God in their own lives as well. We exist as a church so that the glory of God and the goodness of Jesus may be known by all people. As the apostles were sent to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth, we need to look, not just those who are close to us, but locally, nationally, internationally as well. To my shame, I only just realized recently that our church, we give 115 grand each year to local and overseas missionaries and agencies, which is about 15% of our overall budget, which is not bad. Internationally, the things that we do, Emma and Shirley this year in September, there will be a team going to India to visit Pastor Jay and Bright to see what they're doing in God's glory, how they're sharing God's grace through this orphanage. If you're interested, there are times in the future. Regionally, we're looking at another local trip to, what's it called? Gula Gamboon, 14th of 16th of July in the winter school holidays. We'll be partnering with Daniel Z of CABC West Ryde, as well as Pastor Henry, which some of you may know from our times at Gilgandra, to look for opportunities, how we can encourage the indigenous communities there to support the indigenous pastors in the area as well. If you're interested, there is a training day on the 27th of May as well. So we do, I think, you know, reasonable amount of things overseas and regionally as well. But what I think we can do better is locally. One of the greatest blessings since coming back to CABC is to realize what a great thing it is that we have a permanent place here. Having this church makes us a permanent fixture in the community. And we want to make use of that as much as we can. Starting by the Christmas fair we did in Christmas, but there are more things that we can be a blessing to our community around us. This is something that we hope that we can be more intentional about for the next 12 months. So if you have any ideas or you're passionate in this area, please speak to me or anyone really, and we can see what we can do. But something that we can all do is to be witnesses of Jesus individually in our own lives, where those we come into contact with can see us, but also see Jesus as well. This form of evangelism or being witness to what we know is probably as important as these mission trips or giving to missions. All that we are and all that we do should bear witness to what we know and have experienced in Jesus. The way we live, the way we relate to people, the words that we choose, how we spend time or how we spend our money. All these things are little messages that we project to other people around us to what we believe. All these people should see us, and when they see us, they should say there is something different about us. That there is something worth knowing that we know that they want to know as well. And at the right time, our witness should be in the form of actual telling of what our faith is. Don't waste the Spirit that God has given you. A major reason for Him sending the Spirit to you as a believer is for mission. Yes, the Spirit's job is to sanctify us and to remind us and to teach us as well. But from this passage, it's obvious that a primary reason for God's Spirit to be with His people is so that they may go. If we are not being missional as believers or as a church, we are only partially experiencing what God is able to do in and through us. Imagine if you had a beautiful guitar collection at home. And it's just hanging there on your wall, it looks amazing, but you never play it. Sure, it looks great and it makes for great decoration, and you have ownership of these things. But it's not really achieving its full purpose, is it? And that's what it's like if we don't live out our missional calling with the Holy Spirit. We're not experiencing or allowing the Spirit to be at its full power within us. We don't fully see how God is working in us. Maybe the thought of sharing your faith with others makes you feel anxious. Maybe the thought of letting people know in your life that you're a believer scares you. You don't know what they're going to say or how they're going to react. Know that in the meantime, you are empowered by His Spirit. You are indwelling God Himself. If you're a follower of Jesus today, His Spirit is with you. God Himself is with you in this time. You are not alone. Every conversation that you have with other people, every sharing of your faith, every time you are asked these little tricky questions, Jesus speaks through you via the Holy Spirit. Every rejection that you may have, every sneer or snide remark you may receive at a church, at work, or in your schools, He is the one who is with you. Those things are not ultimately directed at you, but at God. And even in the times when we feel like we're not doing a good enough job, when we feel like we've failed other people, God is at work in you. The times we wonder if all the hard work we put in made any difference. The times where we feel burnt by doing too much, where we didn't see many fruits or not many people turned up. God continues to work in and through you by His Spirit. When we come to this command and challenge for us to go, often in our mind our first reaction is, I can't. It's just too hard. And in some ways it is true. By ourselves we are not able. But with the Holy Spirit, He can. All we need to do is to take the opportunities that He presents to us each day. The little things that he puts in front of us. The doors that He opens that we may step through in each days of our lives. Instead of recoiling when the opportunity comes up, say, why not? I may not be able to, I may fail, I may be weak, but God, the Holy Spirit is working. As a start, know your testimony. Know why you believe the things that you believe. Know when you believed, how it is that you became a follower of Jesus. Know what's your own story with Him. That way you can be ready when the opportunity when it arises to share your faith. As we wait as Christians for Jesus' return, what will you do in the meantime? Will you dispassionately sit and just wait for His return? Or will you make use and be alert? Allow the Spirit to work through you by going and telling what you have seen and experienced in Jesus. What will we do as a church in the meantime until the last days when He comes back? Will we fulfill our purpose of being sent into the world to let God use us for His glory in His kingdom? Here in Thornleigh, in regional New South Wales, in Australia, and in the world. How can we trust more and more in prayer? Prayer and prayer and prayer to depend on His Spirit, to obey His call. May we be bold in answering His command. May we be alert to taking up His opportunities. And may our hearts be convicted by the glory and His goodness to us, that we can't help but to go and be His witnesses. Let's pray. Father Lord, we know that we often fall short in obeying Your command to go and be Your witnesses. Often it is easier for us to focus on ourselves, to encourage those who already believe, Lord. But Lord, we will ask You to move our hearts today, to open our eyes to those who do not know You, to those who are in need, to those who are suffering around us. How we may be Your agents in this world, to bring Your goodness to those who need it, to bring Your hope to those who are yearning for something more, to bring this vision of eternity when often all we have seems to be today. Lord, we ask You to help us to be bold and courageous, that when fears come or questions of ifs and all or things like I can't come into our mind, that You will take them away, that You will assure us that You are with us and You are able to do immeasurably more than we can imagine. We thank You that You are with us in this command. And this mission, we are not alone. We ask You to open our eyes to see how You are indeed at work through us and through this church as well. And we be encouraged to continue forth. We thank You for all these things in Your Son and Your Spirit's name. Amen.